Okay, here we go. We are starting, continuing on our crash course, and we are up to the topic of Chassidut, and we'll talk about the Misnagdim as well. Okay, we got a budding Chassid in the back there. Today, when you hear the word Chassid, so you think of someone who's old-fashioned in his style of clothing and in his thinking, but in the 18th century and in the early 19th century, this was a revolutionary movement. The word chassid is mentioned 9 times in Tanakh. And we're also familiar with the word chassid being used in the Gemara. We have a Mishnah, Perkei Avot, that says, Lo ama aretz chassid. If you're an idiot, you can't be a chassid. Okay? Not going to make any comments about people. And we also learn in the Gemara in Brachot about people who prepared for davening. The chassidim rishonim. That prepared how long? An hour before davening. And after davening, what did they do? An hour reflecting on what they said. So today, though, when you think of chassid, you think of something totally different. Today, when you think of chassid, it's all because of one man who changed our perception of this word. And that man is? The Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Yisrael ben Eliezer. Yisrael ben Eliezer. His years are 1700 to 1760. I know it sounds way too round, you know, perfect, but that's what I have. Maybe it's I'll say 1698 just to make you happier. 1698 to 1760. He got a reputation as a miracle worker, hence the name, the Baal Shem Tov, through saying all sorts of mystical incantations, God's names, he was able to heal people. Pretty cool thing. A professor in Bar Ilan discovered archives that the Baal Shem Tov's home in his community was assigned a tax-free status, ostensibly because the Bar Ilan professor, his conjecture was that doctors who served like this purpose got a tax-free status, and he was a healer, so he had a tax-free. We have his name, we have the address, and. So, I don't know how many non-Jews were even living in the town. I don't know. But he wanted to heal souls and not just bodies. And he begins to teach the importance of simcha. Okay? He was against the aestheticism of his day. Many people fasted every Monday and Thursday. And he felt that this led to depression. Okay? This led to depression. Later, we have the idea that a tzaddik can get you closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in your relationship with Kaddish Baruch Hu. And you develop the idea of a chassid or a talmud that would go to learn by his Rebbe, but not like in the Litvak world where he went to go learn his Torah. The chassid went to his Rebbe to watch how he put on his shoes, because this is also Torah. You know, at the end of Gemara Brachos with the Talmud Kana followed his Rebbe around everywhere. Okay? So he goes, yes. So he stresses the importance of tefillah. That's how we connect to Kaddish Baruch Hu. And then you have the famous Hasidic stories about like the shepherd who didn't know how to pray, so he whistled, right? And the Baal Shem Tov said that whistling is what broke through the gates and opened up the gates for all of our tefillot. Or a similar story about the Baal Shem Tov telling people to wait. Because in the back of the shul is a shepherd who doesn't know how to read, but he's reciting the alphabet over and over. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting together the words of his tefillah, and this is so much more sincere than all of the tefillot that we are saying, and we're riding in on his coattails. Right? And these are famous ideas about stressing that kavana is what it's at. Chassidim would jump in the middle of tefillah. They would do somersaults and handstands in the middle of tefillah. Because, first of all, it's a pasuk. B'chol atzmotai tomarna. It's all my limbs. I pray to you. This is why the minhag of shuckling, those who sway when they daven. It's Mishnah Berurah brings down from this pasuk. B'chol atzmotai tomarna. So Chassidim would do all these things. My son explained to me, he said, if someone was drowning and he was waving his hands around, no one would sit there and say, oh, look how foolish he looks. He's doing whatever he can to remain afloat. He says, so too, the Chassid says, I'm doing whatever I can to remain afloat in this world. I'm doing whatever I can to get the attention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the person who's drowning is trying to do, trying to get the attention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this is what he's doing. He's getting his whole body into it. And you think about it. We've all been at weddings where we watched, wedding dancing. Imagine if you took the sound out. How ridiculous would the people look with all of their movements? But if you're feeling that sound, if you're feeling that music inside, so then it's not ridiculous. So this is how he's supposed to feel. I'm getting my whole body into it. What do you want to say? Okay. You're a litvak. Now, yes.
When the
Yekis play, the Yekis, yes, proper, yes.
When they banned Yves Shakling because of Gaiva, and they banned any sort of movement to deviation whatsoever because of Gaiva, why did they like it overturned?
It was overturned in the Yekik.
To get to this, it must have been overturned.
I mean, I think you have different communities. Rav Soloveitchik stood perfectly still when he davened. Okay? Now, he did spend time in Germany, but he didn't grow up there. There's two different ways. Some people feel davening is meditation. People who meditate, anyone here ever meditate? Arthur, you try? Okay, have you? Now, what do? You sit perfectly still, right? Yeah. You're perfectly still. So, Rav Soloveitchik explained that that's what we're trying to communicate with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Perfectly still, I'm focusing. Other people say, look, I just tell people whatever works for you. So, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the idea of swaying. Okay, so if people sway and they have better kavana, let's say when you stand perfectly still, you start thinking, oh, my lower back is hurting me. So, okay, then that's ruining your kavana. So whatever works for you. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I know in some communities that's what they do. My personal feeling is I personally stand still, I guess influenced by when I studied by Rav Soloveitchik, but I'm pretty sure that all my kids sway. And one of them jumps. I think I said once we had over family for Shabbat and they watched my son davening from the women's section, and this woman said, Yonatan, what's with all the hand motions? He says, this is when he was still single, he said, I'm trying to get a girl to go out with me. I use everything I got when I'm talking. My hands are moving. I'm doing everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. I'm using everything I got. So he goes, okay, I accept that. So whatever works. The importance, what the Hasidim tried to stress, is actually a Mishnah in Menachos, fits in with this week's Parsha. Someone's looking for good Dvar Torah Vayikra. So the Korban Mincha is so much cheaper than all the other Korbanot that come from animals. So the Gemara, the Mishnah there says, Echad Hamarba ve'Echad Hamamit. Some give more, some give little. Levat Sheichavin Da'ato L'Shamayim. The main thing is your focus. So some people, okay. So right now what matters is my focus. And therefore, Hasidim said, the shoemaker could be greater than the kol guy. Because it really depends what he's doing it for. Kol guy might be doing it for honor. He wants everyone to look up to him and say, oh, look, he's top guy in yeshiva. And the shoemaker is saying, I'm trying to make this person's life more comfortable. I'm trying to make the best shoes so he doesn't have to replace them every year. Wow, okay. So it's really about what you're trying to do. And the Hasidim became the champions of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And this is a concept that you find in the Gemara. But these 36 hidden Tzadikim, so there's all these Hasidic stories about the guy that you never suspect that he's the one and he's such a big Tzadik. I think I've told you that I once said that to one of my sons in high school. I said, you're one Lamed Vav Tzadikim? How do I know? No one thinks you're a Tzadik. So so you have fooled everybody, right? So
every story to read on it, it's like, a guy
that no one thinks, right? And he's...
After he died, he came back in a dream.
Yes, Yasala the miser and the... When you guys are Poland, so you say, yes, there's these people like that. But this is this idea. Now, also, Hasidut felt that God is everywhere. If Kabbalah tried to bring man up to God, Hasidut tried to bring God down to man. Okay? And therefore, Hasidut is based a lot on Kabbalah, but it's sort of like dumbed down for us to understand. Kabbalah, very few could really understand. But Hasidut tries to take those ideas and make it more palatable. Like Kabbalah for the layman, Yes.
I mean, I don't know where the Yechadiyah's specific ideas are. One, as I know, It seems like pretty simple. Like Hashem's everywhere. Okay, everyone knows that. No, like Bisimcha. Okay, yeah, I want to be
right. So, but like, you know,
it seems simple.
I know, but that's only parts of it. If you go right, so if you go and learn, let's say the Tanya, see, it's pretty in depth. So, like, we tell the stories that everyone could understand. But there's, look, even just look at a Chabad sitter, and you see all these mystical incantations that you're supposed to be thinking about at each, like, different types when you're saying this word and that word. It's a different level, right? So we think of Chassidus as, oh, cute, the guy whistles. You know, like, wow, I can whistle. But it's more. I'm not saying it's not also that. Rav Nachman Breslov was upset and felt that Chabad, you know, took it away from the layman. It's supposed to appeal to everybody. Chazad started taking it back, like, always then, like, in the realm of, like, Kabbalah for the elite. So, said there's different views, different ways of looking at it. Now, the Baal Shem Tov and Chassidut aroused much opposition. Number one, since they were dealing Kabbalah, the people felt this off limits. After the debacle of Shabtai Tzvi, we don't want to go there. You know, he was a Kabbalist. Look what happened. Stay away. Okay, number one. Number two, worrying about another false Messiah. The way people follow Shabtai Tzvi, they'll start following the Rebbe. They'll start thinking, I mean, why Hasidic group would follow the Rebbe and say he's Mashiach? So this was like a fear that people would do that. Rav Shach, one of the reasons why he attacked Lubavitcher Rebbe was exactly this. People are starting to think that you're Mashiach. What's going to happen? You know, so this is the fear. Number three is what you are now saying, Ariel. The idea that God is everywhere smacks of pantheism. Okay, have you ever heard that word? It's not more. It's more that the world is God. You know, we sort of like with little kids, Mother Nature. But like, the world is God. And that's not, you know, we don't believe that the world is God. God created the world. But this idea of God is everywhere. God is in every blade of grass, in every tree, in every butterfly. So like, it smacked of pantheism. This people also objected to. Four, the movement propped up the Am Haaretz. All right, you, Mr. Shoemaker, we just said you're better than the Kolo guy. So what do we, by, you know, not doing it on purpose, but we are by definition belittling Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah can have a kulam. So we're saying, yeah, that guy, he learns, but you know, he's not on the level of the Shoemaker. Shimon the Shoemaker is certainly much better. You know, look how long he davens Shimon Esrei. So. Yeah, maybe he's a Lamed Vavnik. We don't know, because no one ever says. Yeah, so like, you know, so this also was problematic. And fifth, or okay, not and fifth, but fifth, constant joy. This idea of mitzvah gedola liot besimcha takes away from guilt. And guilt is good. Okay, maybe we Jews have too much guilt. Okay, but guilt is okay. The same way pain is good, right? If your body feels pain, so we know something wrong, I have to take care of it. If your personality, if your psyche is feeling guilt, so also you should realize something is wrong, I should take care of it. But if you're told, don't worry about it, don't worry, be happy, you know? So, you know, drink some more. So if that's the way you approach them, so then you're not really working on yourself. And that whole guilt was supposed to tell you, hey, you're not doing everything the right way. That's why you feel guilty. Because Baruch Hu created us. He gave us, you know, psychological terms, it's called like the super ego, which is your conscience. But how do we have a conscience? I have this conscience because Baruch Hu gave me that. All right? So I have this conscience. There's something that's telling me that's wrong. What you just said, what you just did is wrong. But if I'm constantly told, don't worry, you know, simcha. So people were upset with this. And last of the things that I have, and there's probably a host more list of people, you know, have in opposition, that the concept of going, of the tzaddik getting his position by the mere fact that he was the son of a previous tzaddik was also objectionable, because who says that, you know, he's worthy? Now you have the same thing with monarchy. You know, I mentioned you guys were with me when we learned Sefer Shoftim, that Sefer Shoftim could have been the best of times. It didn't go through a Yerusha. God got to pick each Shofet. Wow, can't be any better. But, of course, it was terrible. But it could have been ostensibly great. Just like every great king doesn't necessarily have a great successor, not every great chassid, Rebbe, had a great successor. But as one chassid colleague of mine said to me, and that's why there's so many splinter groups. People said, yeah, I don't appreciate him. And they started a different, and they went there. So, you know, like you sort of vote with your feet. Now, the reason why this is not offered that much today is because basically the Misnagdim did the same thing. In yeshivas today, the last 100 years or so, who replaced the Rosh Yeshiva? His son. Or son-in-law, if he doesn't have a son. So they sort of adopted this same thing. So while a couple hundred years ago when it first started, they go, oh, that's so wrong. They sort of do the same thing. So therefore, you're not really going to hear this as an argument. Because, like I said, it goes on in both worlds now. Not merit-based, but DNA-based. Okay. Now, who was the main opponent to Chassidut?
The Vilna Gaon.
The Vilna Gaon was on his way to Eretz Yisrael. He had written an ethical will to his family. It's a beautiful, you know, ethical will. You could read it. It's translated to English. One of my favorite parts is where he tells his wife, don't let our daughters go to shul. They're just going to look at everyone else's dresses and be jealous. He also gives his wife Musar, get along with my mother. It's like, it's such like a real letter. I hear the Vilna Gaon. Oh, he's worried about little things. Such a beautiful letter. You see the human side to the Vilna Gaon. And no one knows why, but he turned around and came back. And everyone's got theories. One theory that I heard that I find interesting is on his way to Eretz Yisrael, he went through Poland. And on his way through Poland, he saw how rampant Chassidut was, and he came back to fight the fight. He issued several cherims, excommunications against the Chassidim. He even said in 1796, this is the most harsh, if he could, he'd do like Eliyahu against the Nevi'e Baal on Har HaKarmel, which is quite severe. I killed them all. What happened? He saw this as a threat. He saw Chassidut as false messianism. When the Vilna Gaon died, reports came out that Chassidim were dancing. And the truth is, they probably were. The Vilna Gaon died in Chol HaMoed Sukkot. They're probably a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's probably not the way it was told, though, to the Misnagdish camp. They just said, yo, they were dancing when your Rebbe died. What? Okay. So this is how things get skewered. But they probably were dancing. Now, so fake news, yes. So the Misnagdim now got revenge. They informed the Russian authorities that Rav Schneer Zalman of Leadi, who was he?
First
Lubavitcher Rebbe, was working with the Turks against the Russians. Okay, is right now, you know, Turks are the enemies of the Russians. Lubavitcher Rebbe is a Russian, he's working with the Turks. And this too is probably true and not crazy. Why? Because he was sending money to the Jews living in Palestine, which was under whose rule? The Ottoman rule. So it's not like just like the other part. It's like skewered, but there was truth to this claim. He's working with the Turks against the Russians. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was jailed for 53 days. He had originally been sentenced to death, but he was released after 53 days. What day was he released? Yutet Kislev. And since then, Yutet Kislev is like the Rosh Hashanah of Chabad Chassidut. The Rebbe was released on that day. Now, there's a very interesting, cute little anecdote. The Noda Yehuda was a strong, misnagged, anti-Chassidut. And he wrote in his Sefer regard to Chassidut, someone asked me, what version of the Lashem Yichud Kutcha Brichu should I say? And he said, which version? You should say none of them. There is no such thing. I shouldn't say it. Some weird thing that the Hasidim made up. You shouldn't say Lashem Yichud Kutcha Brichu. Because what's the whole idea? But the bracha is supposed to put me in the right frame of mind before I do the mitzvah. I don't need to pregame before the bracha. I need a Lashem Yichud before the bracha. So the bracha does. Well, then we have a Lashem Yichud before Lashem Yichud. Because he goes, no, we don't do this. And then he quoted a pasuk from Hosea. Pasuk says, Yesharim Darchei Hashem, the ways of God are straight. Tzadikim Yelchuba, the tzadikim will walk in its ways. And then he wrote, the chassidim yikash lubam, the chassidim will mess up. Now, the pasuk actually says, or rishayim yikash lubam, tzadikim, straight of the ways of God, tzadikim will walk, and the rishayim will mess up. But what did he write? The chassidim will mess up. Okay, that went through the first printing. People got all upset. So when it was reprinted, the printer changed it and put the pasuk the way it was. What was the quip of the Vilna Gaon? I turned Rishayim to Hasidim, and they turned the Hasidim into Rishayim. Pretty good line, no? Okay, so that was the no de Yehuda. Okay. Now, the Hasidim looked for Chumrah out of Yerushalayim. I'm in doubt. When in doubt, be Machmir. Well, the Misnagid lived according to the letter of the law. Okay, there's a story with a chassid going to the Kutzke Rebbe and saying, you know, this Misnagid was ripping on me that we don't daven tefillah b'zmana. Right? Pretty, one of the things that chassidim are pretty well known for, not davening tefillah b'zmana. And the Kutzke said to him, yeah, at least we took tefillah, they just took zman. Right? Kutzke Rebbe was also pretty sharp in his retorts. And the Misnagdim would say every act that we do has ramifications in Shamayim. In the same way, it makes a difference if I have a kosher lulav and esrog. And it's not the same if I just take any other branch and like add a lemon instead. There is a difference. So too, it matters if I daven before Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, Sof Zman Tefillah. I can't say I'm feeling Shabbos now on Tuesday, so I'm going to daven Tefillah to Shabbos. It doesn't work like that. And therefore, this is found in the Nefesh HaChaim. Every act that we do has so many ramifications up in Shemayim, and that's why we worried about these things like Zman and all the halachot, etc. Question that people ask is, how could the Vilna Gaon, such a smart guy, be wrong? I mean, look, he had this impression of Hasidim, false messiahs are all messed up. And now, 200 years later, it's not true. So, first answer Hasidim will say is, he was. Yeah, I tell you, he was just wrong. He didn't know, he made a mistake, and he was wrong. That at least 200 years ago, yeah. What? You missed that. You can carry it on the tape. Now, second idea, the Aruch HaShulchan, who was a misnagin. Okay, the way that it works, not like today. I went to YU, I got smicha from YU. People in Israel, they get smicha from the Rabbanut. Right? There's like a certain place you go. Back, you know, if you go back 100 years, 150 years, you went around to different Rabbanim, and you talked and learning for a while with them. Sometimes we had a day, two, three. And then he would say, all right, I see you know how to learn. And they give you smicha. And you got smicha from an individual person. So the Aruch HaShulchan, he went to a few people. One of the people he went to was the Tzemach Tzedek. He was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, okay, again, I have to like say that because people, Hasidim will say, he never said that. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Tzemach Tzedek, who was third generation, said, the Vilna Gaon kept us in line. Had there not been the Vilna Gaon, we would have gone way too far extreme. And he kept us in check. Okay, so that's a second answer. A third answer, this is said by the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Friedrich Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe, and he, Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said like this. It's a machlokas l'shem shemayim between the Misnagdim and the Chassidim. Just like in the Gemara, it says that when God wanted to give the Torah to Am Yisrael, angels said, why are you giving the Torah to them? And God said to Moshe, hold on to my chair, answer the angels. And Moshe starts saying, do you have a parent you need to worry about? Keep it out of aim. Do you have this? And he argues, and then he says, see, he wins. Said the Friedrich Rebbe, the Torah of Chassidut, there's a question, should it be brought down to this world? And the Misnagdim was saying, no. And the Chassidim said, yes. And the Chassidim were right, we needed it. And it was brought down, the Torah of Chassidut. But it was Machlokes L'shem Shamayim. In the end, more emphasis was placed on Talmud Torah in many of the Hasidic groups, so they became less objectionable to those who cared about Torah. So, for example, any know which types of Hasidut are known for the fact that they're very much into learning? Maybe. I wrote down here, Chabad, Gor, and Sakacha. For example, some of the guys, some of you guys might be learning Sfarim that you don't even realize written by Hasidic Rabbanim. The Avnei Nezer, right? Right? You learn the Avnei Nezer on Gemara, right? This isn't a Hasidic Shavar, right? We have Sfarim that were written by Hasidic Rabbanim on Shas. So they became more in tune with the Beis Medrash, and therefore people in a ger tefillah and Shabbos, the way that it works is Yidav and Shachris is an hour Beis Medrash, and then you continue with Kriyas HaTorah and Musaf, and but there's first an hour of learning now. So like learning is a major part of Hasidut, and especially in the 19th century when the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, started to gain traction. So then the Hasidim Smagdim sort of teamed up to work against the bigger threat to them, which was the Haskalah. 1980, there was a momentous occasion that the New York Times wrote about. Rav Soloveitchik, who was a direct descendant, seventh generation descendant of Rav Chaim of Elazhin, the Talmud Mufak of the Vilna Gaon, went to the Fabrengen of Lubavitcher Rebbe, seventh generation descendant of the Baal HaTanya, who's like a grand student of the Baal Shem Tov. And the New York Times said, the fight is over. The fight is over. If they could sit next to each other on the dais, right, the fight is over. Today, there are several dynasties that are still around. I'll say the dynasty, you tell me if you know where. Bells. Where's Bells? Yerushalayim. Good. Babov. Babov is in Borough Park, main thing. Chabad. Crown Heights. Good. Karlin Stolen. They're also Jerusalem, also Yerushalayim. Sanz. Also in Israel, but not Yerushalayim. Anyone know? Netanya. The Sanz are Netanya. Satmar. Where? Things with a W. Okay. Also, Williamsburg, and also, yes, also Kiryat Yoel. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kiryas. Yeah, I'm sorry, my bad. When they were known as Kiryat. Kiryas Yoel. Square in New Square. And Vizhnitz in Bnei Brak. So there are still many dynasties. That was Chassidut. We'll stop for today. Shkoyach.
I said dynasty, but my father doesn't have anything
anymore. Yeah, but.